Like the spirit that you feel right now. Amen. There's something about coming together as a body and experiencing it, the power of God together. You know, you can experience it by yourself and God's still powerful. But there's strength when you come together. And I appreciate you being here tonight and giving strength to me. Amen. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. I don't mean to sound 70s on you, but you guys are far out tonight. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." I was recently watching a video of David Bernard on YouTube, and he was talking about the identity of Jesus, the identity of Jesus Christ. And he brought out in the scripture how it's redundant. It says three words in a row: in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Just the word Godhead in itself expresses the fullness of God. So if God is perfect, God is all in all in himself. If he wasn't God, or if he wasn't perfect already, then he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be all powerful. But just stating the word Godhead includes all. So that's talking about all the fullness, all of God that you can get is all in the Godhead. So it's all complete, but it doesn't stop there. It says, just to make sure we get it, it says all the fullness of the Godhead. So it's saying everything, all of God is in him. That's a side note. What I want to get at is in verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. Brother Johnson was talking about humanism and philosophy of men, and how you can get off, you can put your trust a lot easier sometimes in philosophies or what you know than what you don't know. It's easier to trust things that you can see than things that you can't see, and you can put your faith in the wrong things at times. So let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 17, it's actually a very paralleled scripture. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, in verse 19, that you may know the love of Christ. So it's talking about being rooted, being grounded. Why? What's the reason for being rooted and grounded? Is so that you can comprehend the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Again, it's bypassing knowledge. What's knowledge? The stuff we know, the stuff that's been passed to us. We've understood through time, through learning. That's knowledge, things you understand and learn. The Lord laid this on my heart the last two mornings, actually. I'm thankful when he speaks to me in the morning, because it's really easy to differentiate. When you roll out of bed 5 o'clock in the morning or before, there's not a lot going on up here. So if there's something in here, you know it's not from up here. And so it's a little easier to differentiate between your voice and the voice of God at the wee hours of the morning when your brain isn't turning yet. But I want to talk a little bit about roots, and specifically a root system. Both of these verses talked about being rooted and grounded. It's talking about your foundation, your what you're set on, what you're based upon. And these are the two only places in Scripture where the word rooted is used in a positive outlook. Usually rooted is talking about being rooted up. So all the other references with rooted in it talks about being rooted out or rooted up. And that means completely and just totally taken out. When you say you're going to rip something up by the root, means you're completely taking everything there and you're taking it all up. So there's nothing left. There's nothing to grow back later. I don't know about you, but I have a healthy hatred of dandelions. I've seen a few yellowheads popping up already, and I've learned through trial and error, through experience, that pulling those things is really tricky. It's a fight. Because you can, you know, you rip the top of that thing off, and what happens? It breaks off. The top of it comes out. Say, all right, it's gone. Until about a week later, here it comes again. Because the root was never dealt with. That root's still down there. And a dandelion, I'm sure you've pulled many up, have a good-sized root system to it. It's just a little plant on top, but it's got a pretty long root down there. And if you don't attack the root, get to the root of the problem, get to the very basis of the plant, that thing's going to come back time after time after time. So what do? You get some killer and you spray it. That takes care of the root. But roots are important. You know, obviously with any plant has a root system of some sort or another. I've talked about my dad being in the forestry industry. So growing up, he had a business, and a lot of his manual labor came from his boys. We worked for him quite a bit. He paid well. We worked hard. It was a good trade-off. And we did a lot of outdoor stuff, forestry related. And one of the biggest jobs that we had was tree planting. It's seasonal. You can't do it all year long. It's just in the springtime. So when a job would come up, usually not a real big job, a pretty small job, several hundred trees that need to be planted in a lot. And we're talking seedlings, not giant trees here. But it was our job to plant these trees. And when you plant, there's kind of some method behind it. It's not you just walk up and find a spot, start digging a hole, and throw a tree in there. You're doing it for a purpose. You're planting. You know, trees have a couple of ways of spreading. So a lot of trees rely on the wind. They'll produce seeds, and they'll put some sort of helicopter things on them. You've seen some of those, and the wind will take them and take that seed and carry it on somewhere, and wherever it lands, that's where it takes root and starts to grow. Others rely on the birds to eat them. They'll take them off somewhere and they'll grow wherever they land. That's how they produce, and that's how, you know, naturally it falls from the tree, gets carried off, and it just sprouts wherever it goes. But planting is a very specific thing that you do. You know, you're attacking it with a purpose. There's a job to do. So you specifically plant a certain way, how you want it to look, depending on what you're doing with the trees. In the time of planting, we planted some larch trees. I don't know if you're familiar with a larch tree, but a larch tree in the fall time loses all its needles, and it looks like it's died. It looks dead. It's a pretty skinny tree, grows pretty tall, pretty fast in the right climate. But in the fall time, it looks like it's dead. So you'll see a whole stand of trees and they're just no needles, no nothing. But when it's a seedling, a baby tree, it looks like it's dead. You're going to plant this and it looks like a bunch of twigs. Looks just a bunch of brown twigs with a root system on the end of it. And this particular landowner where we were planting needed some larch trees planted. And one of the planters that were with us at the time was colorblind. He couldn't distinguish color very well. So it was a little difficult for him to plant these larch trees because on both sides, it's just all brown. So you have brown twigs on this side and brown roots on this side. And I remember there was one instance where he ended up planting a tree upside down. So he had the roots sticking out the top, and we got him to plant the other species after that. And but roots are very important. You have to be very careful about how you plant a tree. You have to be careful about where those roots are going, because when you're starting out with a small tree, a young tree, you have to make sure they're spread out. They're not clumped together. They're not pointed in a direction you don't want them to go. They need to be pointed in the right direction and with good purpose, good soil beneath it to allow it to grow and grow well. But roots serve two purposes. One is to stabilize the plant. Usually they'll send down a tap root, which is the big center root that goes down, and it'll branch off from there. But that's the main strength of the tree. That's how a plant gets its strength and its stability. You can't just rip it out of the ground because it has that strong tap root sunk deep and holding it upright. And then you have the surface roots. So they'll go along the sides, they'll go out, and they don't go too deep, generally just, you know, several inches to a couple of feet below the surface. And they're not real big, thick roots. They're smaller roots. And their purpose is to bring nourishment, to bring life to the tree, and to bring, you know, to find water and nourishment, nutrients needed to cause it to grow and to be a healthy tree. The Bible here is talking about being rooted. Spiritually, it's the same way with us. We have this spiritual root system, if you will, that serves two purposes. It feeds us. It brings our nourishment to us. Our spiritual life and vigor comes from our, you know, what we're bringing into our bodies. And then it also establishes us and causes us to be strong, to be able to grow and not to blow over when a good storm comes. In Psalms chapter 1, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here again, we're seeing a warning or a caution, talking about listening to the voices, if you will, listening to the voices of the world and of the ungodly. We're surrounded by voices. You know, everywhere we go, we're going to contact people and hear voices, and we choose what to do with those voices, and we choose how those affect us to a certain extent. But in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Back to verse 3. It's talking about a planted tree. So this isn't just a tree that ended up haphazardly growing in a certain area just because life took it there. This is a tree that's planted. So there's purpose behind this planting. That the person who planted this tree had reason for it. He had reason for the location, for the purpose of the tree, for the future of the tree, and for what the tree was supposed to do, and for what kind of fruit the tree was supposed to bear. The Bible says that God is the husbandman, or the orchardist. He decides where we're planted. We don't get to say, well, you know, I kind of like to be planted over there. That looks a lot greener over there, and it looks more suitable for my condition. You know, trees can't just live anywhere. Depending on the species of tree, it has to be the right climate, the right environment. If you look at the trees around us over here, and then you take a drive 3 hours east, and you look at the trees over there, there's quite a difference. There's a stark difference. You won't find a cedar tree grown on top of a mountain. And you won't find a pine tree grown in a swamp, you know, that needs like a ponderosa pine tree. There's reasons for that. And every tree needs certain requirements to thrive. And it needs specific set of environment to do well and to bear fruit. God knows what we need. Right. Furthermore, he knows what his kingdom needs. Right. So when he places someone somewhere, there's reason for it. Now, we don't have to necessarily submit ourselves to the will of God. You know, he gives us the ability to follow our own will if we want to. We can root ourselves up. We can say, you know, this ain't working out here. I need to go find another place to grow. You don't see a, I know this is a little out there, but you don't see a palm tree wishing he could be in Montana. A palm tree is made for the climate where a palm tree grows. There's actually one just up the road here. And palm trees aren't native to this area. But if you notice in the wintertime, they have to do something to it to keep it alive. They wrap it in insulation. So you have to keep this tree warm. You have to baby it and put all these special things around it just to keep it alive because it doesn't belong here. At the same time, think of a pine tree or a cedar tree. Say, man, I just wish I could just be on the beaches, you know, of Cabo. That's the place for me, man. That's just, you know, that's where I belong. That's what gives me purpose. You know, it's easy to look around and say, you know, the Bible Belt of the South, that looks pretty good right now. You know, I could really thrive in that environment. But God, you put me in this, you know, arid Pacific Northwest where, you know, it's not a lot of churchy area up here, if you will. You know, don't you think I could have thrived better in this environment? But he knows our makeup. He knows what we need rather than what we want. And he places each tree for a purpose. Yeah, I've been here for 4 years now. Time flies. And I know the Lord has planted me here. I don't know how long he's planted me here for. But I'm sorry, you're stuck with him because he's planned me for now. So you have to take that up with him. But we have to be submitted to the process and submitted to the planter, putting us where he wants to go, where he wants us to go. Verse 4 talks about the chaff. So it's comparing and contrasting the ungodly to the godly. So saying the godly are like a tree that's planted by the river. That's one side. Then in verse 4 says, but the ungodly, they're not so. But they're like the chaff, which the wind drives away. Chaff is, as I understand it, the leftovers from the threshing process. So in the Bible days, you know, you take your wheat. You didn't have a lot of machinery to thresh your wheat for you. It was all manual. It was a manual process. So they would have threshing floors and threshing areas where they would take their wheat and basically beat it and separate the wheat, the grain, from what was holding it, from the kernel and the rest of the wheat plant. So what you ended up with after this process of beating and striking this wheat, you end up with the fruit, and you separate it, and you end up with the chaff. So there's a lot of places in Scripture where it talks about the chaff just being not valuable at all. It's just a byproduct of gleaning the fruit. So once you separate the fruit from the chaff is useless. You just throw it away or you burn it is a common reference. And also talks about being blown around. So in this case, what's the difference between chaff and a tree? Chaff is dead basically at this point. It's been separated from its fruit that it's carried. It's basically pointless, useless at this point, where a tree is thriving, it's alive. So what's the difference between the tree and the chaff that's blowing around? Well, there's a lot of differences, but the main thing is it's been cut off from its roots. The chaff has been harvested. So it's been totally separated from all the nutrients coming into it. It has no life, no water or nutrients coming into it, so it's dead. And at the same time, it's been separated from its fruit. It has no hope for bearing more fruit. It's done. It's at the end of its life. It's dead, but the tree is growing and bearing fruit still. It's an active, living thing. We can be alive in our flesh, but dead spiritually and not good for much other than burning up, literally. But if we'll submit to the planter, submit to the husbandman, he knows where to plant us in the fruit that he wants from us. You know, the wind is mentioned here a lot of times with chaff, blowing the chaff around. It's just blowing it wherever the wind wants it to go. So since it has no root system, since it has nothing to anchor it into the ground and give it structure and give it strength, it's just based on the whims of wherever the wind wants to take it. And that's how it can be for us if we don't check our root system. If we don't check what we're founded on and what exactly we're attached to, we'll just be driven around saying, oh, here's a good idea over here. You know, oh, now I'm going this way. This feels good. And oh, no, over here. Growing up in Eastern Washington, there's a lot of small churches, a lot of home missions churches. And I was involved with them for most of my life growing up. My dad pastored a small church in Clealum. And, you know, being small, we were always excited when people would move to the area. Transplants, we call them. Now over here, there's a lot more options for churches. You know, you can, in a 30-minute radius or so, you can, you know, have several churches. So over there, we always, you know, we'd make fun of the church hoppers. You know, those that just move around and go where the fire falls. You know, they just keep on moving. But over there, you didn't really have a lot of options. You know, if you get burned out, you get tired of your preachers preaching, there's not a lot of places for you to go. But I witnessed something is stuck in my mind. There was a family that moved into the area in Clealum. The pastor, they were from a church on the west side, a pretty good sized church. And the pastor, you know, told us, hey, this family's coming, you know, they're a great family, real solid, you know, they're gonna be a great help to you. Very talented, and you know, God uses them. And we're like, all right, you know, this is awesome. This is great stuff. And so we waited and nobody showed up. Well, you know, let's just get settled in. That's all right, we'll give them some time. We don't wanna, you know, overexert ourselves and chase them off. Anyway, after a while, it's like, well, you know, they're still not here, so what do we have to lose, right? Let's go check them out. So my parents did a house call. And went up to the door, knocked on the door. Door opens up. What do you want? It's like, oh, hey, we're the Heiners, and we're just, you know, looking for so-and-so. And say, oh, okay, hang on. So anyway, they connected. Long story short, they began to come to our church. And man, the first service that they were there, we asked them to lead a song, you know, sing a song and play a song. And my goodness, the talent that exuded was just tremendous. You know, like, wow. I mean, you know, I was a piano player, so you have me bong, 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 bong. You know, just real basic stuff, not a lot, nothing fancy going on there. And then they come in and it's, wow, just, you know, beautiful voices, you know, very talented musicians. And we're just like, my goodness, here? And we were thankful, we were grateful for a while. I know this story is dragging on, I'm sorry. But after a few short months, they decided that, you know, this little church on the prairie isn't really what we're looking for. So they, I don't know if they became offended with the preaching. I think it was probably something to do with that, but they decided to look for another place. So they made the 30-40 minute drive to Ellensburg and attended there for a while. And what do you know? They didn't like it there either. So pulled up sticks. They still lived in Cleland, but now they're driving to Moses Lake. An hour and a half, 2 hour drive. Anyway, they never became submitted anywhere. They never allowed themselves to take root and take, you know, allow themselves to grow and be a blessing, bear fruit, and allow God to use them, and instead just blew through town and burned a lot of bridges. Not being able to being submitted somewhere. You know, you have to be able to submit yourself to the process. You know, being a tree isn't fun sometimes. Sometimes you're going to get cut. You're going to get limbed up, trimmed up, pruned. You're going to lose some things along the way. And I skipped this part. I'm going to hit it real fast. There are two things that can damage a tree's root system very quickly. One is a disease called root rot, very sophisticated. And another is called, they're basically parasites, bugs, grubs, little worms that burrow in and just eat roots. That's all they eat. And either one of these can devastate a forest very quickly because they spread. You know, you'll see them in a couple of trees, and then all of a sudden, within a couple of years, they have a whole area pretty much cleared out, and these trees begin to die after they're done. You know, we have to check our roots. We have to check and make sure that, for one thing, they're free of parasites and things that shouldn't be in there. You know, this world is our home temporarily, and it can rub off on us. It can, the constant grind of going through and living here and being a part of this world, it can rub off on us. It can make us dirty. And we have to be vigilant to keep ourselves clean, keep ourselves pure, keep ourselves separated. Yes. Amen. We have to be open to his leading and submitted to the husbandman. Amen. Are you thankful tonight? Do you want this back? All right. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we're thankful for your word tonight.